Welcome to the No Hezzy Podcast. It is 2022 and we're in episode 3. Jesus Christ. Yes, I know. I have been gone. I don't know what the F happened, but before we get into all the catch-up stuff, I want to introduce you guys to my girl, Vaughn. She popped my podcast cherry, and so now we're here. Hold on, I got something for you. Want to introduce to you guys my friend, Vaughn, who's going to be my co-host.
Hey, guys. Yes. Yay.
You know, I had to hit you with that.
I love it.
That's like all the sound effects that I got. Got something else in here for you. Anyways, Vaughn, my sis, my girl, thank you so much for coming onto the pod today and being my co-host. We talked offline that we want to make this a regular thing. So aside from my own solo podcast, I think it's decided.
Yes.
That you and I will be doing some segments. So Vaughn, how are you doing? Catch me up before we get into it.
Sure. What? From when?
Yeah. Okay. How has 2022 been for you so far?
Good question. It's been great for a while. Have been really trying to just focus on my peace and energy. So that's what I'm bringing into 2022. I mean, I've already celebrated my girlfriend's birthday. She's an Aquarius. So her birthday's already passed. So, but we're into it. Here we are. I haven't gotten COVID in 2022 yet. Hope I don't.
Man.
Or 2021. I didn't get in 2021 either. 2020 is a different story. I had classic COVID.
I'm ready. I'm ready for this to be done. I mean, I got to say though, you got a little more protection, right? Because you got the OG COVID.
I got the OG COVID. So my immune system's ready.
She's like, let's go. Omicron, Bimicron, Alpha, Omega, whatever you got. I got you.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, I appreciate you being on the show. I can't believe I'm doing this again. So let me break it down. Last year in 2021, we were still, I don't know, I guess in lockdown a little bit. We weren't as brave. And I had decided that I wanted to start a podcast and I had this momentum. And then, I don't know, I think I just hit a rough spot. Like,
oh yeah.
I think the depression or the being locked up kind of got to me. I mean, I know we got to escape over the summer and we got to do these trips, but for me creatively, when I am not feeling good, when I am stressed, when I don't feel good, my creativity is out the window. And so I didn't want to pod. And this is going to be a lead into what we're going to talk about today, but I couldn't get it together. And now we're in 2022 and I'm feeling better, I think. It's either that or I'm like, it's time to get your shit together, RJ. So we're working on that. So anyway, that's, I guess, my update. So if you're here, we're happy to have you with us. I hit Vaughn up like last week and I was like, girl, you want to do a pod? And she was like, yeah, let's do it. She's like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, is you ready? Because I want to talk about resentment. She was like, bitch.
I was like, oh.
Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? So listen, the topic that we're talking about today is resentment. My question for you is, what is your journey for 2022?
Yeah. So I have really been trying to just find peace. I've had a lot of struggles in my life. I, too, if you're new here, have depression, anxiety, and it's really hard to get your life together when you're going through those things. And so I'm really trying to focus on finding that peace within me, a lot of forgiveness for myself that I have to find, just so that I can just be whole always and be a better person, not only for myself, but for the people around me, especially being a mom. So that's just the path I've been on. That's what my focus is. I'm not putting a lot of pressure on myself.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to recognize what things are triggers for me and what brings me down and trying to eliminate those things out of my life so that I can just be quote unquote happy. But you know what? I am a happy person, but just not going in those deep holes that I'm so used to going in, the roller coaster of my life that I've been in for most of my adult life. So that's what I'm going into 2022 with. It's just peace.
Yeah, this is the other thing that started this thought about this topic, is that I don't want to call them resolutions. It feels so, is cliche the right word? I don't want to call it that, because it just, because of everything that's attached to New Year's resolutions, you just feel like they never get fulfilled. Or maybe you do one and then it drops off, but it just ends at some point. In my opinion, that's my feeling. I wanted to look at it as a journey. And so just like you, for me, my journey in 2022, when I was 35, I'm 40 now. Jesus. When I was 35, I hope she doesn't hear this one day, but this is the truth. At 35, I realized that I was just like my mom, and I love her to death. I love her to death, and I have mad respect for her. Let's just make that clear. Mom, if you're listening, I love you. Okay? But there are parts of you, like the old school Filipina, the old school, the way that we were raised or whatever, that she had that I carried. And I didn't want that as a person. And so from 35 to 40, at least so I thought, I was working really hard at these things, not being codependent, not having expectations of people, just all kinds of emotional stuff. And I thought I was doing good. And then last year, I had the realization that I wasn't there yet. You know what I mean? And so in 2022, the journey is to work on those things again and to continue those forward. And some of that has to do with realizing my worth again, letting the right people into my space, kicking people out of my space, not worrying about what people think about me, asking for what I need, communicating my emotions, not working on pleasing people. So it's a whole host of shit. Us cancers, we're just fucked up like that. Like that is...
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
Cancers and empaths, we're just... Okay, sorry. We... I'm gonna lump us two together because... We might get dragged in the comments, okay? But with that in mind, with our journeys in mind, one of the things that had come up for me was this idea of resentment. And are there things that I'm still hanging on to? Are there things that I have resentment for? Some people, Vaughn, they're really good at being like, I forgive, I forget.
Oh, yeah.
I let it go.
It's hard for me to do that.
Are you that person?
I think where I'm at now in my life is I'm better at not letting it get to me as much, but I've never been somebody that was good at forgive, forget. Mm. I'll never forget.
I'll never forget.
It's terrible. It's really, so I don't know. I don't know if I'm any better at it now. I still don't forgive and forget. I think I'm better at just not letting it consume me like it used to. But thanks for bringing that up, because that's just another thing that I need to work on. It really is, because I'm not good at it.
So you acknowledge that there's a theme of resentment somewhere.
It
may not be huge, but it's there.
Yeah.
And I apologize. I'm kind of leading a little bit, but that's kind of how I feel. And before we move forward, I just want to say, before we get into this topic, because I'm about to make Vaughn and I reach deep into the depths of our soul today, that we are not experts. We're not providing any professional advice. Okay.
We are cancers though.
We are cancers and empaths. Okay. We're simply exploring the topic of residual or subconscious resentment. Okay. So we got our journey and we got resentment. Are you ready? Are you ready to reach?
No, this is like a lot already.
Are you?
Let's do it.
Hold on. That's Oh my God.
You have to add that.
I don't have the horn, but if we need to make something funny, I got this for you. Sorry, I'm having too much fun.
Perfect. I love it.
So I'm thinking about this idea of resentment and where in the areas of my life that they're still there, situations okay. or past traumas. This is making me really nervous to like say this, okay? But mm-hmm. I know you said that you had two offline. I said I had two. So well, let's just ease into it. So my first one is that I am resentful of my parents for getting divorced.
Yeah.
Ooh. When I think, I don't know why that is, Vaughn.
Oh, that's so first of all, I think that's completely, when you say the word resentment, I would say it probably is attached to a negative thing.
Yeah.
But for you to feel that, I feel like that's so normal. There's probably so many people that feel that way. It's just a matter of where you are at in that journey.
As an outsider, just hearing that statement, hearing me, your friend, tell you, I'm resentful of my parents getting a divorce. What are the first couple of things that you think of as observations?
The first thing, and this could just be me, is I want to hug your inner child.
Mm-hmm. I don't Woo. Know where that, I don't know where, that bitch is gone. I don't know.
But you know what I mean? That's like the first thing is like, and I'll share this for the podcast. I am a divorced parent. Mm-hmm. So I am someone that has kids that will have divorced parents. So my first instinct is to just like hug your inner child. And then just to tell you that it's not your fault.
Yeah. And really, I think I was resistant to kind of digging in because I was trying to wait for the podcast so that we could talk about it. But this first scenario is that I think the reason why I am resentful that my parents got a divorce is I feel like it really set the stage for how I viewed love and how I viewed relationships.
Yeah.
And how, I don't know. I think one of the thoughts that I have is that I didn't have a good construct of relationships. I don't have a good construct of what happy marriages and what happy relationships are because my parents mm-hmm. got a divorce.
Yeah.
I was really young. My biological parents were together until I was about 11. They got a divorce. It was a tumultuous one and they didn't really like each other and the divorce was bad. I don't know how to explain it, but it feels very whack. That's, you know,
yeah.
And later we'll talk about how that's kind of affected us in the future. But what about you? What is your first situation?
Yeah, mine was, so my dad was in the U.S. Navy. He served for 22 years. So he didn't retire until I was, I want to say 17 years old. Now, as a child growing up with a dad in the Navy, he was deployed a lot. So he wasn't around a lot. What I recall, because really, if I look back, he was. But as a child,
yeah.
He missed my birthdays a lot because he was just gone on deployment. I think he missed two. But as a child, I'm thinking he missed all of them. He was just gone for these events that were important to me. So my birthday, I was in choir. He couldn't make it to any of my concerts. So I never really felt like my dad was around. And I had a really terrible relationship with my dad because of that. And I resented him for it. It made me feel like I didn't matter. And I carried that into my adult life. Even after I have forgiven him and I found peace in that, I still find that residual resentment where I don't feel like anybody cares. Like sometimes it's hard for me to share something that I'm proud of myself because my dad wasn't there to see it. So as an adult, I'm like, well, nobody really is going to care. Like who cares about that?
Is that like an automatic thought?
Automatic.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's where it stems from, is from my dad not being there as a child when I really wanted the person that I wanted to be so proud of me there. And my mom wasn't there. And the reason why she wasn't was because I have a lot of siblings. She's at home taking care of the kids. So if I'm doing something, it was go with your friend. So I didn't really blame my mom for that. It was more my dad. Like, it was his fault that he couldn't be there. My mom couldn't be there. And so nobody really cared about me. Nobody wanted to celebrate my good fortunes. I can't find the right word, but nobody really wanted to celebrate me. So I'm very reserved because of that. People would probably say I'm not reserved, but I feel like I don't overly share things because I'm like, nobody really cares. Nobody was really there for me. So
I find it interesting that, well, at least what I'm hearing, right, is do you feel like you gave your mom a pass because you were more resentful towards your dad in that situation?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I make up excuses for my mom. Like, like I just said, my mom couldn't because she had to take care of the kids, or she was probably too shy because she was very dependent on my dad. So it was hard for her to do things on her own instead of thinking of it in a way of, well, my mom should have just made it work because I'm her daughter. I won't think of it that way. I'm thinking, oh no, it's okay, mom. Oh yeah. I think I give her more of a pass than I do with my dad. Interesting. For sure.
So now what you're saying is that even to this day, you're pretty quiet about your wins.
Yeah. I feel like I still have resistance in sharing things about me because, like, things that are important, because I feel like nobody cares. That's kind of the residual feeling I've had from that resentment is like, well, nobody showed up for those things. Why, you know, who cares? Nobody cares about me. But my inner voice says that a lot. Nobody cares. Don't show anyone. Who cares?
Interesting. Okay. We'll circle back to that because it's going to come up in our later segments. But the second situation for me that I have realized that I have resentment for is that I am resentful that my parents never fully accepted my sexuality. And well, if you go to Vaughn's podcast, Girls Need Love, there's an episode where they interview me, and I'll put our socials up later, but you can go to their podcast and you can hear my story. But I came out when I was 17, but my dad and I, our relationship just fell apart. And after I came out, he didn't really try and we haven't talked. And I think I've mostly made peace with it. Mm-hmm. You know what gets me a lot is when I see like PFLAG parents or when I see coming out stories where there is all this love and acceptance, like that will get me. Yeah. I cry every time. I cry every time because I didn't get that in my life. With my dad, he just disappeared. And then with my mom and my stepdad, they accepted it. But it wasn't in the way that I would have hoped. I ran away a couple times and I came out in the most icky, like non-warm way. They responded in the most typical Filipino, and I don't know about Italian because I'm not Italian, but it feels like that culture, that generation. Do you know what I mean? Where,
oh yeah,
it was stoic. I'm going to tell you I accept you. But you're not getting any warm and fuzzies from me. And even until this day, Vaughn, my mom will, she's trying. And I give her credit for that. It makes me feel weird when she does it, but she still can't fully say yes. It was funny because there was an example where she had recently told me like, hey, we should go to a bar. We should go to a bar so that we can find you a partner. And I was like,
oh, what?
Who is this? And that feels weird. But there was also another example where I had said, you know what, mom, when I get married, I want to get married in the Philippines. Then I just want to get married there. She said, yeah, I told my cousin, kuya that when he gets married to her, they're going to get married in the Philippines.
Like what, I'm making a face if nobody can see.
She's making a face. But do you see how that can kind of like mess with me and make me feel? And those two things were kind of like today, when I think about it today, when I have moments of self-doubt, when I think about dating, when I think about relationships, when I think about myself and my journey and what I'm trying to accomplish, those two things really, like, they come up.
Oh, yeah.
What is your second situation?
So my second one is something that I didn't even realize about myself. It had to take my therapist to tell me, but I had a lot of anger towards my ex-husband, a lot of anger. I just hated him. I hated him. And I was always shit talking him, and he could never do anything right. And this is after we're divorced. Okay. So I'm just like, me and him had the worst relationship. We just could not get along. I hated him. My therapist made me realize that I was holding a lot of anger and resentment because I did not forgive him for his part in the ending of our marriage. In marrying him, I thought that we were going to be together forever. Of course, when you're with someone, or especially when you get married, your thought process isn't that you're going to get divorced or you're going to break up. And so because of that ending, I definitely had a part in it too, and I've acknowledged that. But my therapist made me realize I didn't forgive him for his part, and I was holding a lot of anger towards him that he let the relationship down too. And so I had to work really hard in forgiving him, which is very, very new to me, which finally allowed both of us to have a better relationship. But I mean, anger, hated him. The sight of him pissed me off. And it really was because I just never forgave him.
Can I ask? Let's go. So can I ask, in that area, what is it? Like, I'm envisioning it like a ball of stuff. So can you share some of the things that caused you to feel that anger?
I don't think that I could pinpoint it. It really was the work that I've done with my therapist. But I think as our marriage ended and getting divorced, that subconsciously somehow I was like, you fucked up. You're the one that's ending this family. It's your fault that Sienna or our kids have to grow up with divorced parents. I blamed him for everything internally, which I didn't, because I knew I had a huge part in us divorcing, but I think I was just thinking it was my fault. But that anger really was me also. Okay. Yeah. I did something wrong, and it does not forgive what I did, but it's like, you probably wouldn't have done that if the relationship was good. If we both didn't let go of that relationship, we wouldn't have ended up where we were. So I had all this anger towards him, and I was just so pissed off. And now here I am, this divorced, I think I was 31. I can't remember how old I was when we were divorced, but I was like really, really mad about it. And I didn't have the maturity to look at it as I do now, because we definitely weren't meant to be together, but I didn't really need to. I mean, I had to find peace with that anger, but now, I mean, we're fine.
Yeah.
But that was really hard for me. And I think the way that, well, we'll talk about it. I was going to talk about how it shows up now, but I still have a hard time, not so much about me and him being together, but I always, always think about the fact our kids have divorced parents. Ugh.
Sorry. So do you feel like part of that, and this is totally an aside, do you feel like some of that is cultural and the way that we're raised?
Oh, oh my gosh. Have you watched? Well, no. Okay. We're going to talk about that offline. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I was telling my girlfriend about this. Our parents' age, divorce isn't really an option. You can allow men, you can allow Filipino men to do whatever they want. It's very culturally acceptable for them to do that. And you're like, you just stay. So I think being raised by parents that were taught that so much, that like sat with me too.
And that that idea of divorce, right? Especially if you were Catholic, were your parents Catholic? If you didn't know, like our parents, they grew up in the generation where you couldn't get divorced. No matter what,
yep,
you were gonna fucking make it work. And yep. So I don't know about you, but there is also this, I think this is part of that resentment as well, is just that like your parents getting divorced, whatever issues that they have, at least in my situation, it kind of got put on me. Do I make sense there? And so I'm having to live with maybe my mom's guilt of getting divorced. Not to say that you are, but anyways, sorry, tangent, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, you've shared this, I'm sure, we've talked about this, but you felt growing up that it was your fault, their divorce, or there was some blame. Yeah. There was like blame put on you. Yeah.
So I just have to ask, cause this is part of me, and I'll explain, but did you guys, when you and your ex-husband were getting a divorce, did you ever in the heat of the moment kind of pit the kids against like mom and dad?
No. That's one thing that I'm really proud of, is that, and that's probably because I feel so guilty and I felt so guilty at that time that we were divorcing, that I didn't want them to feel that. Like my concern more so was like, how do we make this work? Because we both love our kids very, very much. And I'm glad that I was never,
The reason why I asked is because my parents, my mom and dad used to do that to me all the time. And that's part of the resentment as well. There would be times where they would be like, oh, are you going to go with your mom or are you going to go with me? My mom would be like, are you going to stay with me or are you going to stay with your dad? Because if you don't stay with me, you don't love me. My dad would be like, oh, if you want to go with her, that's fine. You don't love me. Like, can you imagine how much that could fuck a kid up?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's hard. I try really hard to not do that. And I think part of that maybe is like, I think I've always kind of done that, but even more so just having you in my life now and learning your story, it's that much more important for me to make sure my kids know that me and daddy are friends. You know what I mean? Yeah. Trust me, I'm like, do you want to go to your dad's house? You want to just live with me? You want to just live with me? But I do it. I try to do it in a jokingly way. Yeah. But we try our very best to make sure that our kids feel very, very loved by us, because the fact that they already have to go back and forth and they don't have mommy and daddy together is hard. And I would say they're doing really, really well with it. And we try to have each other's back. So if one of my kids will cry and say, I want to come home, it's because daddy got mad at her. So we try to have each other's back, because I don't know what it's going to be like for them as an adult to have lived this life of going back and forth and not having mommy and daddy together. I don't know. And that's I still live with a lot of that guilt. So all I know that I can do now as a parent is to just make sure those girls are loved. They have my girlfriend, they have his girlfriend that absolutely love them too, that, and they love the back. So I just have to try to surround them with that.
And yeah, I think that's amazing.
Hope for the best.
I think that's amazing. I mean, even that little bit helps. Speaking from experience, being trucked back and forth, I used to listen to my mom talk shit about my dad all the time. I used to listen to my dad talk shit about my mom all the time. It just left me a really fucked up kid. So, moving on.
Well, we'll talk about it a little bit
more. We'll talk about it. So, I know, you know, now we're here. As a 40-year-old and how young are you again?
35.
35-year-old. Keeping in mind these traumas or these situations that we just talked about, let's explore the concept of resentment in our adult lives. how does it affect you, Vaughn, in your adult life? Before we get into it, let's define the resentment.
Ooh, okay? Let's do it.
So Merriam-Webster, do people still use dictionaries?
No, but did you use they use Google, but did you use an encyclopedia when you were younger?
Yes.
Oh my God. We had the whole set.
You had the whole set.
They don't use those anymore. I mean, of course they don't, but I'm like, I'm that person. You kids don't know what it was like.
My parents were too cheap to get the encyclopedia set. They were like, just borrow it from your cousin or whoever. But I remember there used to be volumes. They would say, you should read the encyclopedia every day.
Oh, God.
So we ain't doing that today because there's Google, there's TikTok, there's Instagram. That's how we get our shit. But yep. Based on Merriam-Webster, the definition of resentment is a feeling of anger or displeasure about someone or something unfair. So how do you feel impacted by it as an adult?
Just resentment now or from what we talked about?
Yeah. How do those two scenarios impact your adult life? Because, and again, we talked about this offline as well. Listen, if you are the type of person that is like, live and let live, I forgive, I don't hold any resentment, good for you, asshole. Good for you. Like, I'm going to just keep it 100. I've had a couple drinks, but knowing that you and I are similar in some of our attributes and our personalities and us being Cancer and empaths and this, we are not that person. I mean, from time to time, we get a glimmer from God and then we're good. But in your adult life, thinking about those situations, how do you feel like the resentment has impact or still impacts you today?
The big one that I touched on is not thinking that anybody cares about me. As a little girl and not having her dad around for important things, I think made me hide more in my shell and just think like, why do I need to share that? Nobody cares. And I'll give you an example in my adult life.
Yes.
I am the only one out of all of my siblings who are all adults that have a bachelor's degree.
Work.
Yay. We have a bachelor in the same thing too.
Yes. You and I.
Yes.
That's why we're friends. I mean, that's not why we're
But I'm the only one.
We here.
Yes.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
I didn't think it was important to my family. And they, of course, were excited for me. But I didn't think it was important to celebrate because when my sister became a nurse, being Filipino, that's the utmost. I mean, you don't need a bachelor's to become a nurse, but if you're a nurse, that is it. That's the golden ticket. Willy Wonka, you're going to the chocolate factory, okay? That is the best thing that you can do as a Filipino.
That is one of these. Go ahead, continue.
Yes. So I got a bachelor's degree and yes, my parents were excited for me, but I think because I have had this inner dialogue with myself all my life of nobody cares is I didn't even want to celebrate it. And nobody even suggested to either, which was odd.
You're like, okay. I got a motherfucking degree, y'all.
I know.
So what that it wasn't in their thing?
I know. And I think I downplayed it so much because my younger self was so used to not being celebrated because even though my dad was gone and my mom was there for my birthday, we're not doing anything because my mom depends on my dad for everything. So we're not having a party. So it's just like, happy birthday. There was a cake, but that was it. So, I mean, I even downplayed it. I'm like, oh, it's just a bachelor's degree. Oh, it's just business management. Look how general it is. But no, that's a motherfucking bachelor's degree.
And also, Filipino parents, like old school Filipino parents, they're just notorious for downplaying everything because they were taught that way where, you know what, don't celebrate your kids' wins or their successes, because that will force them to strive for more. Okay. Bitch, you got a gay son that didn't fucking like school. You wasn't getting shit. Just saying.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, and I that still lives with me. It's like, I never really feel like really sharing a lot about the things that, I don't know.
Do you share with your partner?
Yeah, I think I've grown accustomed to sharing it with people that are really important and being okay with celebrating it in a very smaller way. And you know what's so funny now that I'm talking about this is my sister, the nurse, who I love. She's like my best friend. I love my sister.
I smell a little bit of resentment, maybe? Do I smell that?
Oh my God, that's so funny. I love my sister. She did my lips. You guys should go see her. She loves to celebrate everything.
Yeah.
She loves to have big parties and do this and that. I'm like, we're so opposite. But I think I was not a bad student by any means. I was a 4.0 student until I learned about drugs. But she was always a 4.0 student because she didn't even drink alcohol until she was 18, which was 14. But she got a lot of the glory. So I think it's not, and it could just be it could be a personality thing where she just likes to be more recognized about stuff. But yeah, she's been more celebrated in my eyes. So I think how I deal with that now is like, I have to tell myself it's okay.
Does it feel weird when you share your successes? Does it feel like you're bragging? Does it feel like...
Yes. It feels very braggy. My girlfriend, T, she's the same way. She also is like, I don't really like to show off things because I feel like it's too...
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I'll see other people doing it and I'm like, that's so cool. But I won't do it.
I'm the same way. I mean, I will like lightly slide it in there, but I'll also downplay it. But that's part of how I grew up. So I feel you on that one. For me, I think it's impacted the way that I relate to people. I think it's impacted the way that I trust people. It takes me extra effort not to judge people. Oddly, which is weird because I feel like when I'm thinking about the scenario about my parents judging me for being gay, somehow that's trickled down. And sometimes, or when I'm dealing with situations and people, like it's immediate, like there's a judgment there. It may be subconscious, but it's something that I've had to really work on.
Yeah, you would think that you wouldn't, but I think because you were judged, that makes sense to me that you would be quick to judge others. Cause it's like, okay, well, if I was, then you're going to be too. I think that just naturally happens.
Yeah. And I think the resentment about my parents getting divorced has really made me think about marriage. And if when I was younger, somehow, some way, you guys, I had figured out a way to make marriage the dream. Like I want to get married.
Yeah.
And I think it's really weird, Vaughn, because I think maybe that was just a way for me to be like, I want to be able to repair that in my life. Do I make sense there? Like I'm going to get married so I can do it the way that my parents didn't.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But now that I'm 40, I actually don't know if I want to get married. And I think
it has to do
with the resentment.
Yeah, that makes sense. When did you realize that maybe you don't want to get married? And do you think that you're changing your mindset on that? Because do you think that resentment is just evolving?
So, like evolving in a bad way or or a good
just one? It's just changing.
Oh, like changing where, like the viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because and let me be clear, you guys. I don't walk around fucking angry every day.
Yeah, right.
When I make reference to this resentment, I'm just talking about like when you have backsteps in your journey, when you have bad days in your journey and you're looking at these things, that's where I feel like resentment comes into play. But to answer your question is, yeah, maybe it does. And the first example that I can give is that all my friends, most of them are divorced. And I'm not even just looking at you. I mean,
Yeah.
I've had friends in high school that had a timeline. Like I'm getting married by 30 and I'm getting married by 25 and we're doing this wedding and it's going to be like legit. It's going to be my high school sweetheart, or we're dating after 2 years, we're getting married. And then I've seen them fall apart.
Oh yeah.
So that coupled with what I've experienced in my own life, as much as we've been taught this idea of marriage and how beautiful it can be, as a 40-year-old, I'm like, it's really scary. And I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I never thought that I was going to get a prenup. If I ever get married, I could not get married without a prenup.
Period.
And I don't feel like it's greedy, but like, and I've told this to you before, right? If a relationship to that magnitude does not work out, I need to fucking walk away.
Yeah.
With me intact.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think that's okay. And I think a lot of people need to let go of the idea that be getting married is a be all end all. You can, me being somebody that is married, me being in a relationship with someone that I absolutely would love to marry, but it just because you are in a relationship does not mean that you have to get married. First of all, I think it's a decision that both people need to make. It shouldn't be, I've always wanted to get married, so I'm going to get married type of mindset. Right? Because it matters very much about, like, RJ, what if you meet somebody in the future and you had that mindset that you wanted to get married and they didn't, but you loved this person and you would absolutely want to spend the rest of your life with that person. Both of you guys are going to have to find some compromise if it matters enough on, okay, do we want to get married together or are we happy just being in this relationship for the rest of our lives? So I think marriage, I was the same way as you, RJ. Growing up, I wanted to get married and I did. I was 24. Check the box. I'm going to get married because that's what I want. The first nice guy that I ever met. And it didn't work out. And I was very turned off by marriage a lot because of that, because of my own experience. But now I just think it has to be a decision between two people. It can't be, because I'm saying this because I still see like, oh, I've been in this relationship for 2 years. He better propose. And it's like, but why? Why are we doing this on your timeline? It's like, I think two people need to decide that that's what's important. And there's no... being married doesn't, like, it's not like, oh, you achieved it, you're in a relationship and you got the best of what you're supposed to get and we're not going to look down on you anymore because you're not, you know what I mean, because you did it. I think that's my take on that.
So a little side, this is so interesting to me, but do you know that to this day there is still a stigma about, in the Philippines, so I watch a lot of Filipino TV.
It's the best.
Anyways, there's a stigma in the Philippines still about having babies before marriage.
Oh.
Getting pregnant before you're married, living together before you're married.
Anyways, it's still in the Philippines now?
Oh, what was that?
It's still like that there now?
Yeah, and there's still no divorce. They're just working on it now. Working on a bill for divorce. I know this has nothing to do with resentment, but we might need to talk about this on our next podcast.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, we should.
Yeah. There's a bill in the Philippines that they're trying to pass. Anyways, my point is, I'm just highlighting what Vaughn and I have had to grow up with. I don't know about you, Vaughn, but I feel like it takes us extra effort to fight that idea. I mean, for mm-hmm. me now, I'm just like, I got to protect myself. I got to do me.
Yeah.
Yada, yada.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, how does the past resentment or the residual resentment carry into your relationship with your girlfriend today? And before you answer, you can think about that. Okay. If you guys, whoever's listening or watching, you can go back to my very first podcast. I had Vaughn and our other girl May on, where they talked about their relationships. They were both married, got divorced, and now they're both with females. It's an interesting podcast that you have to watch because it'll give you some context to what we're talking about today. So
with the resentment that I had from my relationship ending, my marriage ending, I've had to do a lot of work on that with my therapist. I think going into a new relationship, my current one, I've just had to do a lot of internal work, because I think that because I was let down in the past, that maybe it was easier for me to be triggered, or I was angrier at her than I really needed to be, because there was still anger there towards something else. So I think that's how it was showing up. Definitely in the beginning of a relationship, I think that showed up a lot, is my anger that I still had, resentment that I still had towards someone that I really highly disliked. So if my current partner was saying something that I didn't agree with, my anger was heightened, because it was like there was so much of that already in here.
Yeah.
So now I really have just had to work on that, and it's unfair to hold my current partner to that. You can't blame your current partner on your past partner's faults. So I've had to learn that is being a lot, being more present, because I don't know if this is a Cancer thing. I think it is, but living in the past, we live in the past a lot.
I'm gonna bring up a little tea. Okay, it's not tea. Just Vaughn and I have known each other, like, it's going on 2.5 years now. 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, and I've had the pleasure of hanging out with her on a couple of occasions. And when we get, you know, a little inebriated and we're hanging out, you guys, we have these really deep talks. And then we're not going to divulge the talks, but in these talks, a little bit of this like angst comes out, a little bit of this. And it's okay. Like, I'm down with it. I'm here for it, right? But like, where does that come from? Is there like some resentment there? Is there?
That's a really good question, Ryan.
She's going to kill me. I didn't say what we talked about. Okay, I got your back. I'm just, I'm talking about the feelings part, because I'm there with you.
Yeah.
I'm there in that moment with you. And we're having serious conversations like we're having now. Where does that come from?
I think you can relate to this. I think it's really hard for me to be so vulnerable with people, because it's really hard for me to feel safe.
Period.
To be able to share that side of me.
Yes.
So I think when you get that side of me, it's because you and I have that safe space with each other. And so you're really feeling it, because normally you're not really going to see that out of me. But really.
Just to clarify, you guys, and I'm totally like, I'm joking with Vaughn, and there's some truth, but what I'm referring to is whenever we've been together, whether we're inebriated or not, or just hanging out, like, we have really deep conversations.
Yeah.
Her best friend May, they have really deep conversations. And sometimes in those conversations, there's like revelations and there's things. And that's what I'm trying to get at. That stuff kind of fascinates me. You know what I mean? But I also am trying to dig and try to identify for myself too. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I really do think it's something that is always there. I just don't share it. I think
And I appreciate that, by the way, that you have been willing to share.
I think
that.
I feel it. All the things that I've shared with you, what we talk about, I feel it, but I never want to expose myself I never, you know what I mean? I never want to show that side of me to people. I don't want people to know. I don't know, because I feel like it'll think that I'm weak. Yeah. But it's there. And I think the reasons why we get these breakthroughs is because we're finally talking about it. But it just sits there. And I'm the only one that really has those, my own dialogue with it. And I'm trying to talk myself through it, which isn't always bad. I really can talk myself out of stuff and sit there and think in my feelings. But I think when we're together, the things that we can bounce off of each other is what really brings those revelations. But I think the angst really comes from, like, it could really be my own fault, but just really never being, feeling like I've ever been heard and my feelings were never really valid. That's definitely a Filipino thing.
Yeah. Cause you're in a place where you're with people that hear you. So you want to get it all out. Cause you know,
yeah.
I don't know if you're a Cancer, you might understand. If you're an empath, you might understand. Oh man, I'm about to expose this, but this is not the podcast topic, but it's just, we are the type of people, and Vaughn, you can correct me, is that we won't share a lot if we're not in a safe space.
Absolutely not.
We won't share a lot if we don't feel safe around certain people. And so really, and Vaughn, I love you. I wasn't trying to call you. I just wanted to see if any of those deep talks were related to any of the resentment. But even being on here, even doing a podcast, even talking to you is very vulnerable for us. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it does. That angst might just because of that little girl that never really felt like no one cared. So when I'm going through something, I don't really reach out to people. And it's so funny. And RJ, I know you can relate to this. So many people can come to me and share what they're going through and I help them through it. But it's so hard for me to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't it's nice to be able to do that. I mean, I probably should. You wouldn't see that side of me as often as you do when we're drunk.
But it's We learn. You learn from me. I learn from you. And honestly, though, like, not even in just our own situations, people are not going to agree with this. But sometimes I actually like talking to people when they're drunk, because that's when the truth comes out.
Oh, yes.
Okay? That's a whole other podcast.
Yes. The best conversations. We should do one drunk.
Oh, you're not drunk now?
Oh, wait, I am. That's right.
I was like, I've been sipping on this thing. Sorry. Okay, we totally got off track. Thank you for letting me call that out and explaining that. I think it was important because I guess what I'm trying to get at with that is that's part of our healing. And that's the last topic that we're going to talk about, because we could talk forever. But one of the big things that I had read online, when we're talking about getting over resentment and working on our journey, one of the big themes that has come up in every article is this idea of letting go. Uh-huh. I mean, let's just take a moment of silence for that, because seriously. Can we have a moment of silence for that? Because that needs
pour out a shot for letting
some
go.
Prayer. It's just, it's tough.
Oh, it's really tough. It's really tough. You have to unlearn something that is so deep rooted inside of you. And it's hard to do that. It's really hard to do that, because how do you, when you're so used to one thing, even though you know that you shouldn't feel that way, it's like, but I don't know how else to feel. I have not been taught anything else. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, you just don't know what that looks like. So I think that's where you and I are both like working on ourselves.
that's a question. Here are four things that we'll touch on. There are four steps to letting go of resentment, right? Mm-hmm. The first one is consider why letting go is difficult.
Oh,
my question for you, taking into consideration our past traumas, why is it so difficult to let go of resentment?
Gosh, I hope I can articulate this the best way that it's happening in my head. But I think sometimes it could be hard to let go and forgive because doing that makes the experience okay and forgivable. And it's like, again, that's the whole letting go, but it's like, but you experienced it. And here you are now today with that feeling and letting that go. I feel like it gives them a path. I think that for me, that's the way that I can best articulate that, is like, it's admitting that it was okay for that to happen.
By letting go.
I think sometimes when you still have that anger, it's like, but it wasn't okay. So I'm not going to. I think for me, I had to find peace. But you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I know I have to forgive you, or I know that I have to let this go. I know I can't let this run my life. Not that you and I are just always thinking about this every day in and out, but it gives them a pass. But it's like, God, that molded me kind of into who I am. And so letting that go is like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you look at it like that for a lot of the situations or for most of the situations?
I think...
It's very interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think I've found enough peace with both situations now. I think I still deal with the residual that we've talked about, because I have a great relationship with my dad, and me and my kid's father, we are fine now. But I think when it comes up, I think it's just when memories come up and it just hits me all over again. I forgot what your question was also.
I was asking you, so whenever you have a scenario that comes up like that, do you always mm-hmm. feel like if you let it go, mm-hmm. you feel like you're giving that situation a pass? Is part of that pride?
Yes, absolutely. It's pride and ego. It's pride and ego, which I think many people, it's hard for us to let go of our pride, or some people are better at it. I'm learning that. I've learned that in this relationship that I have a lot of it. Yeah, thank you for saying that. It is pride. Yeah, another thing I need to work on.
Yeah, for me, it's difficult to let go of stuff because I'm very cerebral. I'm very mental. I mm-hmm. have always been over analytical. I'm an overthinker.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm dealing with resentment, or if someone's hurt me, or if someone was dishonest with me, it's difficult for me to let certain things go, especially if I've been hurt.
Oh, yeah.
If they're small things, okay. But if you've hurt me, if I have opened myself up to you, if I've decided to be vulnerable with you and you hurt me, even if it's better that I let the situation go, my mind has trouble because I'm thinking mm-hmm. about the scenarios. And so mm-hmm. when we're talking about these four steps and considering why letting go is difficult, it's something that I still have to work on because I'm very mental. I have to go through all the scenarios through my head, and sometimes with my pride and my ego, figure out if I was wrong or not. And a lot of times, for the first couple of times, you're like, no, bitch, I'm right. You know, but
yeah, right.
Anyways, I have to. Yeah. Part of that is my brain. So next step, I guess, of letting go is self-compassion. How good are you about having self-compassion?
I'm a lot better at it now. And the way that I'm doing it is just saying those things that I need to say to myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get that imprinted in my mind. Do I believe it all the time? No, but I'm trying to say those things out loud and be more forgiving to myself so that somehow it clicks in my brain and I do start just naturally thinking that. Because no, I think I'm so hard on myself. So hard on myself. And
I
would say such negative things to myself all the time. But
I don't know how to give myself self-compassion. It's one.
I know you're really hard on yourself.
It is one of the toughest things that I am still working on.
And yeah.
Part of that stems from my mom. My mom is very hard on me.
Yeah.
It was not good enough. If any of you out there that are listening to this podcast are an only child, then maybe you could understand. But try being an only child and growing up in a Filipino household, you're just fucked. You're just fucked. Especially if your parents are old school Filipino, like nothing was ever good enough. If you couldn't get it right the first time, it wasn't right. If it wasn't perfect, you suck. And so even now, even at 40, like when I feel like I know myself better, Vaughn. I love myself more. I've worked really hard and I know what I'm worth. I still have a hard time with giving myself self-compassion.
Yeah. Yes, you do. You're hard on yourself. I know that.
So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to help my resentment. I mean, eventually, I don't know. I think it just takes, for me,
it's going to take time.
It takes me a long time, though.
And it's okay, but that's okay, though. So that's the mindset, right? That's part of being hard on yourself. It takes time. It's going to take a long time, though. But that's okay that it's going to take a long time. So I think for me, gosh, I used to be so hard on myself, so negative about myself. And I still am. That part of me is still there. Anytime I am hard on myself or I think something negative and my head starts like overthinking, is I really have to make a conscious effort of bond stop. It's okay. You're okay. You did okay. You're doing the best that you can. I have to tell myself that because my mind is so used to saying the opposite. You fucking suck.
Yeah.
You're a dumbass. The fuck is wrong with you?
I was going to say, do you talk to yourself a lot?
Oh my God. Yeah.
I do. It feels weird, but I have to do the same. I have to do the same thing, even out loud. Like when I'm stressed, when I'm mad, when I'm upset. When I'm by myself, I don't know. It feels very weird to say this because for some people it's normal. For me, it's not normal. And so it feels very weird to be like, RJ, you're tripping. RJ, just relax. RJ, take a breath. RJ, it's not. Because we weren't wired that way.
Right, right.
I think.
Yeah.
What about empathy? Step three is having empathy for yourself when it comes to resentment. How do you feel about that?
I think that kind of goes hand in hand with the self-compassion. Well, maybe not. That's so interesting. That's interesting. That's one of the steps. Because us being empaths, I think it's so easy for us to relate to people, or not so much relate, but to really understand. Even if we haven't walked the same shoes as somebody else, we really are good about
that. But we are good at being empathetic towards other people.
So that's why I think that's so interesting, is because you say that and I'm like, am I empathetic towards myself? I don't know the answer to that. Do you think that you are?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
No.
I don't know if I am either.
That, oh my God, I think that's cultural. I don't know about you, but I was just taught to be so hard, and not even in a sexual way, just hard. You know, I was taught, hold on, let me back up. I was taught to be really polite and respectful and respect my elders and total Filipino culture, which I love and appreciate. But emotionally, I was taught to be hard. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. Don't tell anyone. You're not upset. Keep that shit to yourself. Don't fucking tell anybody. You're not going to cry.
Yeah.
But that's all us stuff. So I can understand why it's very difficult to be empathetic towards yourself. But that, I guess that can be, that's one of the blocks, I guess, that I think we need to work on. Doesn't it feel weird though? When I say, hey Vaughn, tell yourself that you need to be more empathetic to yourself. Does that feel comfortable to you? I feel really like, what?
No. Like, yeah. No, that does not feel comfortable at all. I was kind of like, what is empathy towards myself? What is that? What do you mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad we're going through these steps, because that's something that we need to introduce to the long list of things we're already working on ourselves on.
Oh, we're going to get real woo-woo in a second.
Oh, God.
Okay. So we got, I don't know, of this four-step process.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I think we only got one or two.
Yeah.
Okay, last one, which I feel like is the easiest of the four, is gratitude. Yeah. Do you give yourself gratitude? Are you, do you genuinely feel gratitude on a daily basis?
No. No. Naturally, no. If I remember to feel that, I will try. And I think I still have a hard time with it. I think that part of me that is still really hard on myself, like I want to be like, I'm so grateful for this. I have gratitude for this. I think it's still hard for me to say those things because I'm like, but it's not enough. Or, yeah, so, no.
We need to just do a podcast about our culture. I mean, we're going to have to research some of that shit, but I think we should do it. I offline, I was telling Yvonne that I didn't know how to round this out. I didn't know how to finish this off. But I guess part of this process for this podcast is just being able to further acknowledge that resentment and talk about it. Yeah. I'm going to let you finish with your process of healing because you've done a better job than me. I am still working on these things. I have these quick pangs of resentment when I'm not feeling good. And I immediately think back to, I feel like this because my parents got a divorce. Yeah. I feel like I'm single because my parents got a divorce. I feel like this because they didn't accept me for being gay, but I want to finish it off on a positive. And I want to get people to, if you've blocked it away in your mind, if you put it in the back, but you're in a space where you feel like you're not moving forward, or if you said, just like Vaughn and I have said, that our journey for 2022 is to be better, that maybe part of the block is that you're not acknowledging the resentment for past trauma or things that have happened in your life. So I guess that's the point of why I wanted to do this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So for you, because you did mention offline that you've done a lot of work, right? What has that process been for healing some of this resentment?
One of the biggest things is what you touched on is becoming more self-aware and recognizing that it's there and understanding kind of why you are the way that you are, right? There's something that happened that causes you to react a certain way or be a certain way. For me, I think, like with my dad, for example, that resentment, I really had to, it really was just learning about him more as an adult and recognizing that he was the only person working between him and my mom. And he was able to provide a life for us that allowed my mom to be a stay-at-home mom. So I always had a caretaker with me.
Yes.
But in doing that, he had to sacrifice missing out on his kids' special events.
Yes.
And that's something that he's actually shared with me that he's working on, you know, not so much working on himself, but that he
acknowledges.
Yes. And so I think it took me, as a kid, I'm not going to recognize that. As an adult, I'm going to recognize it more. And me and him have a great relationship now. But it, as a young adult, I really hated him for all of that. So to be a little bit more general, though, is I had to find peace because I could not allow those things to rule me anymore. Because I being somebody that can fall into a depression low so easily by being triggered about things, I had to find my way out of that, RJ. Like I could not, I'm so tired of those lows, so tired of them. And they're so, even though you're more aware and self-aware about those things, it doesn't mean it's still not going to come up. So even though I recognize the triggers and recognize those things, I wasn't going to get any better mentally if I wasn't changing something to help myself become better. And so I had to find peace in it. And in doing, and that was just for my dad being more specific, recognizing his point of view, and yep. I found a lot of peace in that, is realizing that, look at what he actually was able to provide for me, though, being a working dad. Absolutely. As a kid, I couldn't see that. And then with my ex-husband, I think in that, for myself, I can't speak for him, is just recognizing that, you know what, we both played a part in that. And yeah. I have forgiven him. I'm still working on forgiving myself, because I still blame myself a lot for the marriage ending, and more so not so the marriage ending, but breaking up a family. But I can't let that rule my life anymore, because I don't like how I feel when I'm that unhappy and holding on to anger. I don't like when I'm an angry person.
So it sounds like part of your steps, what I'm hearing is one step is more self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. One step is acknowledgement. Those are the two main ones. And three, kind of like what we talked about earlier, is the self-talk. Like reminding yourself.
And I have to do that a lot. I mean, it's still there. It's absolutely still there. But yeah, it's the self-talks. Because I think that one of the things that I do a lot now is, like, when my anxiety takes over, I ask myself, who told you that? Who told you you're a bad mom? Because my mind will be like, you suck. Why are you like this? You're such a bad mom. And then I have to stop myself and go, who told you that? Anxiety did. So anxiety, you need to get the fuck out. Because I'm trying not to be negative to myself.
Yeah.
And I have to just be self-aware. It's that self-talk. Like, that's where I'm at in my process now. I don't know how it's going to be years from now, but, like, right now that's working for me.
And I have to acknowledge that during the pandemic, I'm very observant. And even when you and I weren't close, I could tell when you had your highs and lows. And I have to acknowledge that I haven't seen you hit a big low point in a while.
I haven't. That's so true.
We have to celebrate
that. Thank you.
We have to celebrate that. And we have gone off on so many side tangents, but that's what happens when we start drinking on a podcast.
I know.
But what I wanted to finish with, I guess, is that just know that you can always tell me your accomplishments and we will celebrate you.
Thank you.
Because that is important. Knowing how we are, our crews are very small.
Yeah, for sure. It is.
I think our next podcast should be, Vaughn, Life as a Cancer and an Empath.
Oh my God.
Although,
let's do it.
We should. I think that'll be our next episode. We're definitely doing this again. I hope, if you're out there listening, I hope you guys have gotten something out of this. The idea is that it'll get you to think about some of the things that are holding you back. Because I would love for you guys to have a really good 2022.
Yes. We're
still in the middle of a fucking pandemic.
We are.
We got to learn to live. And I want this life after the past year and a half of just some heavy shit. Like, I want to be good. I'm going to be 41 years old. I want to be good. I also want to be skinny, but that's kind of tough.
Me too. That's when I tell myself, it's okay.
Before we go, where can they find you, sis, if they want to find you?
Yeah, so Instagram is Mama Vaughn, MAMA. Well, you'll put Mama Vaughn.
I'll put it on the
screen. Yes. Twitter and TikTok is Mama Vaughn too, just with two
E's. Do you twat?
Oh my God, I'm so funny on there. You should follow me.
Are you a twat? Are you a twat?
I'm so funny.
I address
T as my lesbian lover on there. So I don't call her my girlfriend. I don't say tea. I'm like, oh my God, let me tell you what my lesbian lover told me today. It's hilarious.
I'll flash your social, but so they can find you on Twitter. They can find you on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
That'll be here. They also, her and her cousin, they do have a podcast with some episodes that you should listen to because it's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Lots of dating stuff.
It's girls.
Girls need love too. I was just going to say, I don't know if we'll do any dating stuff on here. Because
we should. It's fun. Oh my God. Let's do it. Let's totally do it. We're going to talk about everything. Let's crowdsource some topics.
Yes. If you guys have any topics that you would like Vaughn and I to talk about, please shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'm going to put my socials up. Yeah. Vaughn for sure will be regular co-host. If you've been following my podcast, I've decided that I'm just going to do one podcast a month for the moment, because what I realized is that this bitch was just trying to do too much. I am a new podcaster. And if you don't know, editing a podcast, recording a podcast, it is a lot of work. And as much as I love to talk, it takes a long time to edit. So that is part of my journey, is that I need to pull it back. Yeah. I'm also very excited because I'm getting my No Hezi gear back up again.
Yay!
Which makes me super happy. So merch will be up. So Vaughn, let me express my gratitude today. Thank you for being my new co-host. I'm so glad that we got to do this. Let's finish up with some word association based on our topic today.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Live freely.
What did I say last time?
We were talking about relationships, so.
Oh, now we're doing resentment. Okay. Live freely, resentment. Oh, I'm saying this. This is word association. Doesn't mean I'm great at it, but let go.
Let go. Live freely for me. Be you.
Love freely. Compassion. Self-compassion.
Forgive.
Ooh, yeah. Yes.
Experience freely.
Experience freely with resentment. Oh, I don't know. You go first.
Me? Mm-hmm. Oh, experience freely.
Experience
be open
freely.
To letting go. It's not a word, but be open to letting go.
Move on. I want to say move on.
Move on.
But it's the same thing as like, oh, but well, maybe it's not. Yes. I want to say move on.
Move on.
Yes.
Perfect. No judgment here. Anyways, that's it for today. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast today, and we'll catch you in the next one.